Good morning and welcome to the Thursday, April 29th, 2010 edition of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski. You're listening to LibertyRadioLive.com, and my guest today is my first half-hour guest today is former FBI agent John Peeler, and John is going to revisit the Tony Alamo story. I just wanted to check. John, are you there?
Yes, sir.
President, good enough. Just let me give a... Good. I'm glad you're there, and I wanted to have you on for this first half hour to revisit this story. And let me just preface it by saying that I received an email from the Tony Alamo Christian Ministry regarding the Oprah Winfrey show. And apparently Oprah Winfrey is promoting that Tony Alamo is going to be on the show. And the ministry has emailed Oprah telling her that he is not going to be on the show, and that she should cease and desist from any type of lies about Tony, that he was married to children. Tony was convicted under the Mann Act, which is transporting minors for illicit purposes, on very flimsy evidence. And the ministry wanted to point out that there were never any charges, and Tony was never married to any young children. And to cease and desist from these lies to increase her ratings. So apparently she is going to do a show on Tony, and the ministry sent me a message stating that he is not going to be on the show like she has promoted. So what I thought to do was, if they're looking for both sides of the story, I thought they might contact you. Have they contacted you so far?
No, sir, but you're welcome to give my name and number to anybody you want to give it to, sir.
Okay, and what I will do, I'm sure there's somebody from the ministry listening. If they can get me Oprah's number or a contact so that I could forward it to John Peeler, I'll do that, because John does not have an Internet access, and he tells me why, because he's afraid that if he has an Internet, they're going to put child porn on him and falsely accuse him. Correct, John?
That is correct. They tried to do that to Pastor Alamo. The first charge they had against him on his last deal they had on him, they charged him with porn on the Internet till they realized he was legally blind and 75 years old and legally blind, and then they decided to do the Mann Act that they used to use on the gangsters during the Roaring Twenties, sir, when they found out, yep, he was legally blind and it wouldn't look too good and politically correct in their court, in their kangaroo court, sir.
Yeah, now you stated publicly you are a former FBI agent.
Well,
and
let me get that totally correct. Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
The last job I had with, I've done many jobs with the United States government, but the last job I had with the United States government, I was sworn in 1988 by federal judge George Howard Jr. I was sworn in as a special undercover agent with the Violent Crime Task Force. This is before the Patriot Act, and the Violent Crime Task Force was a special task force made of the FBI, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, Secret Service, state and local police, only certain ones that would go along with the program. Not every policeman was a member of it, only certain ones now. And then all these police agencies were combined together, including the Central Intelligence Agency. This is when it was against the law for the CIA to work in the continental United States, sir. But this is before the Patriot Act took away a lot of our rights. They did this kind of under the counter. And what we did, I was a special agent sworn in, and Judge Howard Jr., George Howard Jr., told me he was familiar with some of the agencies that I had worked with and were familiar with me, and told me to please try not to commit more crimes than I saw. But since then, I've repented and tried to get, I'm in bad health, I'm trying to get right with God. Like Mr. Robert Govar, federal prosecutor, said when I was a sworn federal witness in his court one time, He told me when he was interviewing me and telling me what to say in court before I went to court, he said, if all else fails, tell the truth. And that's where I'm at now, sir.
Okay. Now, you've told us before publicly on this show that you were assigned to bring down Tony Alamo back in the 90s. Tell us about that and
that
why
totally
it's led
correct.
You to believe.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
This is before the Patriot Act, and what my job was, which was, I'm not a lawyer, and I'm not immune from prosecution, so I'm going to try to be a little bit careful what I say, but I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? And, you know, it's always a mixed blessing being on your show, because nearly every time I'm on your, I've been on your show a couple of times, and every time I'm on your show, I get a visit from the FBI or one of the federal agencies, a visit, and they come to my home, and they give me the free invitation to come down to the FBI headquarters or one of the federal buildings and do a polygraph exam. And I've had many polygraphs. Last time I was on your show, since then, they've given me 3 polygraphs about things I said on your show. And if I was not telling the truth, you know, Martha Stewart was put in prison for lying to a federal agent or agency, which is a federal offense. So everything I'm telling you is 100% true, sir.
But you've taken polygraph tests.
Alamo, they wanted him. They wanted to make a political example out of him. He would not campaign. He would not give any money to William Jefferson Blythe III, also known as Bill Clinton. He wouldn't give him any money. So Bill Clinton came after him with a vengeance when he said in his newsletter that Bill Clinton was not a nice person. He went a little further than that and told us some of the true facts about Clinton. So what happened, there was a vendetta, and I was told to target certain people, and Pastor Alamo was one of the main people I was to target, and I targeted him. I went to all his different facilities. He had about 20 businesses back then in the 80s, and I went to his different businesses. I tried to get him involved in drugs, tried to get him shipments of drugs, tried to get him a diesel truckload of machine guns, tried all these different things with him. All they did was give me Bibles, invite me to singing and prayer meetings and so forth. I couldn't find anything wrong with the guy. And I went back to my federal handlers, Bill Buford, Glenn Jordan with ATF, Terry Edwards, United States Secret Service. I told these guys, this guy is squeaky clean. And they said, we got to get him on something. I said, the only thing you're going to be able to get this guy is to set him up on tax evasion. So that's exactly what they did. They said that some of his businesses, he got in business with some people, helping people out, doing the Christian thing, and these people didn't pay their taxes, and they said he was one of their partners, so they got him for some of the businesses he was involved with, and they got him they jammed him up for tax evasion.
And he spent 4 years in jail for that, right?
That is correct.
All right. So after that, you decide to leave the FBI, correct?
Well, let me tell you, they made the decision for me because the deal is I was persona non gratis after Pastor Alamo's case and stuff. I mean, they said when I went to court on some of the cases I was involved with before, during, and after that, I told the truth in court and lost some federal cases. And that was not, they did not like that. I told them I'm getting old. I've got holes in my body that God didn't put there. I need to try to get right with God because I'm doing all this. And see, most of the cases I did over the years were decent cases. And the, you know, Pastor Alamo was one of those, and I did some cases against the Invisible Empire, the Knights of Ku Klux Klan, and Aryan Nation, and other things. And I wanted to get people for things that crimes that they really did. I did not want to have to manufacture crimes. I mean, one of the guys I did, a Klan member, what I had to do, I had to get this Klan member, and he was an old World War II veteran and stuff, and what I had to do, I had to manufacture an M6. He was making Sten guns. They didn't like Sten guns. They looked like pipe fittings. So I had to help him buy the parts and manufacture an M16 assault rifle carbine with armor-piercing ammunition. I had to get the stuff for him, help him manufacture it, and then bust him in federal court. And this is very unfortunate that I was forced to do this, you know, by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. But if I had not done this case against this guy that they really wanted, I would be dead or in federal prison myself. And as a result of some of the things I did, they framed my son. He was a Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps. He's doing life without in prison. There's no body, no weapon, no blood, no hair, no forensic evidence, no eyewitness, no crime scene. His name is John Christopher Peeler, number 107832, East Arkansas Regional Unit, Post Office Box 180, Brickey, Arkansas, 72320-0180. He's doing life without parole. They're holding him against me. And like when I was on your show, they told me, the FBI, ATF, and CIA agents that met with me told me that if I'd quit talking on your show and a couple other radio stations that I talk on every now and then, they'd let my son go. But they have not done that. They're not good at their word. You know, they try to be politically correct, and all they do is do what their masters tell them to and say what they're wanting to say and so forth. And they're not going to do anything for my son or me. Like I told you before, if I had the Internet, they'd fill it up with child porn, break down my door and say I was involved in child porn, try to make me a sex offender and all this kind of stuff. But it's unfortunate that our government does that kind of thing to people, and I can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt they do it. And I've met with governors, politicians, senators from Arkansas and other states, and told them about crimes that I have been involved in against American citizens, Mike Ash, Wilbur Hale, Lane LaRue, and Pastor Alamo. I've told them about crimes that I have personally been forced to commit against American citizens, and these people are not interested.
Right, and you tell us about, you know, there may be injustice in America, but Arkansas takes it to a new level.
Well, you're correct, but the deal is, I was talking to our lieutenant governor, Mr. Rockefeller, before he passed on this great reward, but I said, when he was lieutenant governor, I said, are you going to be governor someday, before he got leukemia, mysteriously? But anyway, that's another story. But anyway, he said he's going to be governor of Arkansas, but he's never going to be president of the United States, because he will not sell his soul to the devil in the New World Order. And that's exact word for word what he said. I'm willing to take a polygraph about anything I say in my letters or correspondence or on your radio station to you and your listeners, and God bless you all, because I'm trying to get right with God, because they could take me out any day, any minute, sir.
Well, you tell an interesting story about Clinton. You happened to be at some type of party with him when he was governor, and he admitted to everybody after he had a few drinks that he was going to be president, correct?
That is correct. I was, okay, Peter Max was a hippie-type artist, and Big Dad Don Robinson advertised himself as the gayest person in Arkansas. This is many years ago. Back then, I was in college, and I majored in psychology and art. So anyway, I was working on my degrees and so forth, and Big Daddy Don Robinson, I'm not a homosexual, never was, never want to be, but anyway, Big Daddy Don Robinson, he got right with God before he died, but he was one of the people that supported William Jefferson Bly III, also known as Bill Clinton, and told him he wanted him to be president someday, because Big Daddy Don's boyfriend had been an officer in the Navy, and was thrown out because they found out he was a gay person. So anyway, what happened, he told him when he got in, the first thing he wanted him to do was don't ask, don't tell policy with the military is what he wanted him to do. And Bill did keep his word to Big Daddy Don. But when I was at this toga party years ago in downtown Little Rock at one of Big Daddy Don's mansion, there were federal judges and police there. There was cocaine. There was all kind of drugs. Peter Max was there, the hippie artist and stuff. There were people drunk and high. And Clinton, William Jefferson Bly III, went to a bedroom and raped a young man in a bedroom when he was drunk and high on cocaine. And I was with a girlfriend there, and I accidentally went to the bedroom and saw it going down. And, I mean, you know, he needs to be in prison for the crimes he's done against God and man and against the citizens of the United States. And he went all the way to the top. But, you know, people knew that he was sexually indiscriminate. And, like, I talked to Bill Clinton one time when I was a little bit tighter with him before I found out all the evil things he is involved with. And he said he wasn't a bisexual. He was a trisexual. He would try anything sexually. And he was true to his word.
Yeah, and the story goes that Clinton made some boastful statements that one day he would be head of the UN.
That's, you heard? Well, back then, I had a talk with him when we were drinking. I drank back then probably more than I should, but I didn't do the cocaine and stuff like he did. He had to have his nose fixed because of it. Him and Roger Cassidy Clinton, we called him Butch Cassidy, the cocaine cowboy back then. But he boasted that someday he was going to be governor of Arkansas or governor of Arkansas then. He was an attorney. He said he's going to be governor for a while. Then he's going to be president of the United States for two terms. And he said then his wife's going to be a United States senator. And then she's going to be vice president or president. And then he's going to be secretary general of the United Nations. I said, Bill, the Muslims have a lot of control and stuff. You nearly have to be a Muslim to be. And he said, well, how hard is it to join the Muslim religion? I said, well, it's very easy in front of an imam. You've got to say, confess in front of three witnesses that you believe in Allah and Muhammad is his prophet. He said, well, that's not so hard, is it? And that's exactly what he said to me years ago. But see, this young man that he raped at this toga party, I talked to the man years later. You know, sometimes when you're drinking a little bit, things will deceive you. So I talked to him, and he's an executive with Habitat for Humanity now. And I talked to him, and I said, well, can I use your name or get you to come forward and say what happened to you and stuff at this toga party? He said, no, that's a long time ago. I got a wife and children. I'm a minister now. I try to help out this organization. He said, they'd murder me and my whole family. He said, John, you've seen the Clinton Chronicles. In fact, you're probably in it. And he said, no, I don't want you to come forward and use my name. But I've used the circumstances is all I've used. It's up to y'all whether you want to check it out or not. But I'm saying, you know, this country was founded by people in a conspiracy to overthrow their government, and we're still there.
Good point. And, you know, when you look at all the deaths surrounding William Clinton, to wonder what's going on. Somebody sent me a dossier of the number of people that seem to die mysteriously connected to Clinton, and it's incredible.
That's right. Kathy Ferguson was a dear friend of mine. She is a beauty contest winner and a registered nurse working as a receptionist at Baptist Memorial Hospital in North Little Rock. And what happened to her, I was a person of interest and taken in. They were going to charge me, the United States Secret Service, Terry Edwards, were going to charge me with murder, for her murder, but then they decided she never owned a firearm in her life, shot herself in the back of the left side of the head. They were going to charge me with her murder, and then they decided to say that it was a suicide. So then what they did, they said it was a suicide and tried to cover up the case and did a great job. I talked to some of her family members. They said, please don't come forward and get us all involved and stuff because we're not going to say anything about it because our whole family would be murdered. And she was getting a divorce from her husband who was involved in Trooper Gate, Danny Ferguson, who was a state trooper that procured men and women for the Clinton, men and women and boys and children for the Clinton family. And anyway, Danny Ferguson was doing the Trooper Gate thing, and after his estranged wife was murdered, he decided that he didn't know anything, and they transferred him in the middle of nowhere, guarding a stretch of road in the middle of nowhere in Arkansas until he retired from being a state trooper, and he didn't know anything, didn't want to talk to anybody about it, because like you said, things happen mysteriously to people. Like I told my wife now, number five, I'm not bragging, I'm complaining, because she's real upset about me being on your show, because like she said, every time I'm on your show, I get an invitation engraved, personally delivered, to go to the FBI headquarters to get a polygraph test. And if I ever fail the polygraph, I go to federal prison. But besides that, when they come to the house, they scare the hell out of her because she's not used to this kind of stuff. When they come last time, well, I told my wife, I was in the kitchen, I said, you know, they don't know where we live, they don't care, they're not interested in me. It don't matter talking on this radio station and stuff. She said, looked out the window and said, well, the people that are not interested are coming down the driveway.
Oh,
and I looked
boy.
At and I said, oh, heck. It was the FBI with antennas all over the car.
Well, John, in our last few minutes here, just talk about what you think happened to Tony in this last case.
Okay, Pastor Lombo, they wanted to make an example out of him. Vernon Wayne Howe, David Koresh, on that deal, they told me what an evil person he was, showed me all these pictures and stuff. I volunteered to go down and shoot him personally myself. God knows whether they did any crimes or not. He was a political thing, toy. But anyway, they made an example out of him and his followers. Okay, they told me they were going to make an example out of him, and they did. They wanted to do that to Pastor Lombo before they did it to David Koresh, also known as Vernon Wayne Howe. Before they did it to him, they wanted to do it to Pastor Lombo. They finally got Pastor Lombo. They had to frame him the first time. They had to frame him the second time. God knows whether he ever did anything wrong or not, because he was squeaky clean when I met him and talked to him, sir.
And so now he sits in jail in a life sentence, and a number of the children, over 35 children from the ministry, have been taken and put into state custody. They've been adopted out, and both cases are on appeal. But you told us right after this occurred that they were setting him up this time for good, right?
That's correct. I was on was it your show or another one? That I was on a radio show talking to him. Pastor Lombo was on the show, and I was apologizing to him for what I'd done to him the first time.
Yeah, and that was my show.
Oh, by the way, I've talked to these federal agents, and they're getting ready to arrest you for child pornography. And he said, well, I don't do anything wrong, John. I said, well, that's correct. That doesn't matter. You don't have to do anything wrong. If you're targeted and we go after you, you're history.
And now Pastor Lombo sits in jail. Now, they want to contact Oprah Winfrey to see if they'll let you on the show.
I'd love to be on the show.
Do you want to give out your number, or do you want to have it private?
Well, my number is area 501-758-1352 in North Little Rock, Arkansas. And like I said, write a letter to my son. I mean, you know, people find it difficult to believe that you can go to prison for murder with no body, no weapon, no blood, no hair, no forensic evidence, no eyewitness, no crime scene. But, you know, when you're not politically correct in this society, all kind of evil things can happen to you from evil people. You know, evil men prosper when good men do nothing. And thank God for you and your listeners and your radio show that you're trying to get the truth out there and try to straighten up this country from the top to the... I've written letters to Obama and everybody from the top to the bottom. When I was in Amman, Jordan a few months ago visiting some people I know there, what happened? They've got pictures and photographs of Obama everywhere, and they say they're proud that we have a Muslim president. Now, I don't know whether he is or not, but that's what they say. And then they got pictures of Oprah Winfrey, and they call her the First Lady of the United States. They got pictures of them in their Muslim outfits and stuff everywhere you go in Jordan.
Hmm. Yeah, and what a story coming out. Did you read that about Obama? A guy by the name of Larry Sinclair came forward and stating that he had cocaine parties with Obama and also
had sex with him or something.
Yeah, had homosexual activities with Obama. So it goes on, doesn't
I've
it?
I've heard that from a couple of Secret Service guys and stuff. And his nickname is Renegade with the Secret Service because he does such strange things.
All right. Well, listen, John, I want to thank you for coming on, and hopefully somebody will contact you so you can go on and tell Tony's side of the story if that show on Oprah Winfrey comes to pass. And let's say some prayers for your son, and if anybody out there wants to help John, give a call. Thank you, John.
God bless you and your listeners.
fight the fight. We are here to equip you. Because you love the truth, LibertyRadioLive.com. If you'd like to get a copy of this program, you may subscribe at LibertyRadioLive.com for only $45 a month. And you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all the First Amendment Rights Media Group programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you can request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $20. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You can do all this online at LibertyRadioLive.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773, 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at the First Amendment Rights Media Group.
I just talked with one of these elite the other day, and he told me the latest of everything the elite have planned for the world for the next 2 years.
Shocking. This DVD, Tragedy, Hope, and Reality, the latest title by Lindsay Williams. Our production team at First Amendment Radio has condensed Lindsay's 3-DVD set down to a single DVD presentation.
So I'm going to tell you right now, up front, everything that I feel will impact your life in a major way in the next 24 months.
2.5 hours of the most important details of what the elite have planned for America and the world.
Within 2 years, he said, you will not recognize the United States of America.
Will you be ready?
And here is the part that startled me more about anything that he said. He said, war is planned. And he told me where it's going to be.
Will you even believe it?
Gasoline will remain the price it is right now until we have war. You're going to be paying $4 to $10 a gallon overnight.
First, you must see it. 2 copies, one for you and one for you to give away when you send a support donation of $20 to First Amendment Radio. Use the chip-in event on our website or send $20 cash to First Amendment Radio, 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. 139 East Tulare, T-U-L-A-R-E, Tulare Avenue, Tulare, California, 93274. Make copies and give them away. A wise man sees trouble coming and prepares for it. Tragedy, hope, reality.
Okay, we are back on the Investigative Journal, and that was John Peeler in the last half hour, a former FBI agent, who was telling us how he was told to set up Tony Alamo back in the 90s, and then was privy to information that they were going to do it again. So I hope that people listen to that half hour, and we'll move on. My guest in this half hour is Walt Stickel. Walt is a longtime listener of this show. He's from Oregon, and he's been following Liberty Radio and other stations and my show and the Truth Movement for about the last 5 or 6 years. And through conversations with him, emails, etc., other calls when he used to call in, he's come a long way in trying to figure out what we all try to figure out here, and there's so much to learn that I thought I'd bring Walt on this half hour to discuss just basically what he wanted to talk about. And he wants to lay a foundation about Tupper Saucy's book, Rulers of Evil, and talk about Chapter 1 in that. And I think he's on right now. I'm getting a little bit of an echo, but it's okay. Walt, are you there?
Yes. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning. Just give us a little background so people know who you are and then we'll move on to our discussion of rulers of evil. Go ahead.
Well, I'm a listener. I've listened to you for over 5 years, and I've followed you know, the history. I got into the history of anyway, listen, I'm a little lost for words. What I want to say here is I want to kind of add to what John Peeler said.
Okay.
when I was in the 90s, I was on a truck. I drove over the road for 10 years. And so when you have 10, 12 hours a day to drive, you know, I had all kinds of tapes, but I did a lot of investigating on Bill Clinton. I bought the Clinton Chronicles. I mean, there was a book out that a Secret Service agent had, you know, that resigned. And everything John Peeler is saying is so true. I want to say something here, too. All you need is one person to dialogue with. If you don't have one person to dialogue with, when you're taking in information, it's hard to get it in the right order. I remember talking to Tom Fress, and Tom was talking about numbers, and I said to Tom, it doesn't matter. All you need is one person to dialogue with. And because I want to make some comments on, you know, because when I investigated and was reading about Bill Clinton, it was mind-boggling. I mean, I bought 5 or 6 Clinton Chronicles, and I passed them out, and you know, I just felt for sure that people would, America would wake up. And then the impeachment trial came, and he was impeached. And I said, well, the system is going to work. They're going to throw him in the street. And we didn't have enough righteous men in Senate to throw him out. And then not only that, you know, most Americans are so dubbed down. I was at a liberal's house, and I said something about Bill Clinton. He said, well, what's wrong with Bill Clinton? Well, I said, well, he was impeached. And you know that the average American doesn't even realize that we've had 2 presidents that have been impeached, and Clinton is one of them. And not only that, when they had the Democratic convention, here he comes, and America welcomes an impeached president. Because this is what's leading into what I wanted to talk about today. Post-America, we have been completely taken over at the top. Let me make that real straight, real clear. We've been taken over completely at the top. And the thing, and then yesterday, this last week, you had 2 guests, Daniel on Monday, and then Kevin Abrahams. And I've always enjoyed Kevin Abrahams because he says some very profound statements that make you really think. And the thing that's leading people away from who's controlling this New World Order, because the New World Order is here. It's in place. It's not coming. It's here. And I want to make a... I want to... and he said... The profound statement that he said yesterday, he mentioned that Rome is the oldest corporation in the world. Last time I was on your broadcast, I asked you, I said, what is the largest business in the world? And you're kind of, I don't think you ever had that question asked to you, but it's religion. Not only is it the oldest corporation in the world, it's the richest corporation in the world. And on another time, when Kevin was on, he made this statement. He said, Babylonian system is a system of rationalization to do legally what is forbidden morally.
Yeah, that's a good statement, isn't it? Yeah.
I know, and I don't know if it's not a quote he mentioned where he got it, but it was so profound that you asked him to repeat it twice.
Mm-hmm.
And then this last week, you know, I was preparing some information to come on your broadcast, and it was three. I started listening to Walter Veith. And one of them is the beast makes friends.
Two beasts become friends, okay.
And then strange fire and secret, the secret.
Isn't it the secrets behind the secret society or something, yeah?
Yes, the secret behind the secret societies. Well, a lot of things have really been coming this last week. In other words, The Invisible Empire came out by Alex Jones, Alex Jones is the producer, but the director was Jason Berman. And you know, it's called The Invisible Empire. Well, the reason I wanted to. I remember when Tom Fress, did I pronounce that right? Fress?
Yes, Fress. Tom Fress.
I remember when he read the book on air. I haven't had anything to shake me as much as evil's. Because, in other words, I have to go back. Because, in other words, when you started talking about the founding of this country and George Washington, you know, I was a little offended. Matter of fact, one day I even called in. But after reading Rulers of Evil, and especially the first chapter, after you read the first chapter, it's called Subliminal Rome.
Mm-hmm.
It could be called the Visible Empire. And then before I go there too, you know, I want to talk a little bit about the Invisible Empire.
Okay, you know, go ahead.
Tex Mars, you know, I was an avid reader of Tex Mars. I read every book he put out up to Circle of Intrigue. And matter of fact, I bought a case of book, The Woman Rides the Beast by Dave Hunt. And I called Tex Mars and asked if they carried the book. Well, they don't, and so I was real congenial. I asked the fellow if he knows it's still in print. Well, the fellow was real polite and found 25 books on Amazon, so it's out there. I want to put this with The Invisible Empire and A Lamp in the Dark when you interviewed Chris Pinton.
Now, Chris Pinto, yes.
A lamp in the dark. I mean, it's history documentation. I mean, it tells you where the real culprit. I mean, what the battle is over. I mean, it's been a battle. You know, in the reformers, in what fueled the Reformation. What fueled the Reformation was the fact that even in the Geneva Bible, they had it in the footnotes that Rome was the beast.
Yeah, you know? And you know, let me just make a comment here real quick. What we end up with movies like Lamp in the Dark, and then we get, of course, right after that came out, there was a hit piece done on it by a Catholic website and a radio station. What we have is this constant flip-flopping back of Rome says one thing about history, Protestants say another, and then we never get the true story. told to the people so they can make up their own minds. They're led by the people that they follow. So they're led by these, you know, if you can keep out the truth out of the, or both story. I'm not saying even the truth. Just keep both stories out and just hear Rome's version. You're going to get a different vision of what the truth is. Now, on Tupper Saucy's book, in the first page, next to Subliminal Rome, he's got a little capture, a little picture that he drew. It's Time Magazine, and his headline was "How Reagan and the Pope Conspired to Assist Poland's Solidarity Movement and Hasten the Demise of Communism." Now, for example, you can take both sides of that story, but I decided to find a person from Poland and get it from the horse's mouth. And if you remember, I had Andrzej Suda on my show. He's now, by the way, fled from America and is in Switzerland somewhere. Because of the attacks that he's had on him. But he talked about all the information he found about how Lech Walesa, the head of Solidarity and then Polish president, was actually a Russian, Polish member of their secret service. And his nickname was Bolak. So when you look at that, you get a pretty good idea that there was something going on in Solidarity that we're not told here in America. But anyway, go ahead. I just wanted to make that point. So, go ahead.
The thing that I wanted to bring out today that is, you know, we have been taken over at the top. Rome is in complete control at the top. The invisible empire blames the corporation, but there's another name for the corporation. It's the church. But they never, through the whole documentation, they mentioned the Pope once. It's a very interesting. I mean, a documentation could be done because I'm going to tell you something. The way they did it, it's very, very pro New World Order. the symbology that they used, they had one thing where they had George Bush in the back. They have the sunburst. I mean, and they don't talk about the symbology, which I really strongly advise the secrets to listen to Walter Veith, because Walter Veith really explains the symbology. And the symbology that's in the Invisible Empire and Alex Jones's documentation shows like the UN symbol. If you look at that UN symbol, and if you look at the oval shape in front of the Vatican,
mm-hmm.
It's not a circle. It's an oval. And then it has the sundial. The sundial is in the UN symbol. Now, which came first, Rome, or the United Nations? And not only that, it's about 20 minutes into the documentation, they show a round table, and with graphics, they make this oval eye go into the round table, because they're talking about all the front groups, the trilateral group and the CFR. And my friends did a print screen on the computer and stopped it, and it's an all-seeing eye. And in that CNI, there's a man in a chair, looks like the Pope. and of course, what they leave out, and the key to understanding who is in control, it's religion. And I want to read a quote from Bill Cooper. In this world, it really does not matter what your personal religious beliefs are. But what is happening in the world today has everything to do with religion. It does not matter if you believe in them or not. If the people who believe in them hold positions of power, this will most assuredly affect you. Understand, this is not promoting a religion. It is explaining what religion is and has been through history. Now, I want to, and yesterday, Kevin, when you... You know, the word Christian and you sometimes, Craig, use the word Bible believers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I said this to a liberal friend down the way sometime one day. I said, you know, if you really knew the history, if you really knew who a Christian was, it's the key to the answers. Because it's like Kevin, and I just really enjoy listening to Kevin, because he's giving you the Jewish perspective. See?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, in the biblical, in the New Testament, it says that we're grafted into the tree. So how can I be in odds with the trunk? You cut down the trunk, and we all go down. And, you know, I have something that bothers me all through my life, too, and I know it's rubbed you. The fact that when people, and I've heard it right on your radio show, guests, you know, damn their parents to hell. Now, I know what the Bible says.
Yeah, that's so ridiculous. I mean, if a Christian is still doing that, they ain't no Christian in my book, because that's left to God, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Now, this is where I'm going with this. Is, you know, what we believe means nothing. Our belief system doesn't mean it's what makes a Christian. What is a Christian? It's very easy. He reads the Bible and he follows the Bible. He's obedient. And I'm not going to try to pound anybody's sale here, but a good example is Nicholas Arthur. He reads the book. If you've listened to Nicholas Arthur long enough, you'll understand that he follows what he's saying. In other words, and the key to it is a corporation. The true Church of Jesus Christ has never been a corporation. It's separate. It's always been separate. In other words, I know of two churches. I know of one in Detroit and one in Las Vegas. And I've been to the church in Las Vegas. The church in Las Vegas is not tied with the one in Detroit, but they're both Christian churches. They're not corporate. And like Nicholas Arthur said, you know, cross the border and come out of this corporate, because it's the corporation and it's a trap, because they've taken the Bible and used it as a front, because there's only two religions, good and evil, sun worship and worship from the creation of the God who created heaven and earth. There's only two. And Walter Beef brings this out in his documentation. Buddhism, Hinduism, all of it, all the symbology goes back to sun worship. And the all-seeing eye. The all-seeing eye, we look at it, and we think that all-seeing eye is Masonic. We look at all those symbols as Masonic. You can see the all-seeing eye all through Catholicism. Matter of fact, in the Vatican Square, that is not a circle. It's an oval. That's an all-seeing eye right in the middle of the Vatican. Now, which came first, Freemasonry or Catholicism? And Catholicism, and Walter Beath makes it so plain, Freemasonry is nothing more than a front. And I have some quotes here on John Quincy Adams, because I was up on Kevin's site. It's amazing. He was one of the presidents that brought out, because you can't leave religion out of this. And I want to go quickly. You know, time's running out. But I want to go quickly to, because what really, really got me going is when I started investigating what, what I was. I was trying to prove you wrong, Greg. I was trying to prove you wrong.
That's good. I mean, I enjoy that.
I was talking to Tom Friese one day, and he said, "Well, why don't you call John? He likes to talk to people." So my friend and I got into a three-way conversation with John Daniels, and said, "I'll say something about John." John, he said it more than once. He said, "I'm amazed that you guys are calling me and you're asking me all these questions." He says, "Nobody wants to talk to me." You know, and the thing of it is, when you start, some of the things that hit you right in the face, you know, is one of them now is when is how can you understand the founding of this country without knowing about the Carrolls, Charles Carroll?
You know, you're right. I mean, that's such an enlightening study.
The very land that it was set upon, you know, I mean, there's so many things that you just, we got to go back to the founding. And another thing that Daniel brought up on Monday, the fact that Rhode Island, you see, Rhode Island, you know, for over 140 years before, they had freedom. They were practicing freedom of religion because the rest of the colonies all had, they all had their own state religion. And see, and it was a group. They were called Baptists, but don't relate them to the Baptists that we see today, because the Baptists that we see today have been overtaken by the Freemasons. But. You know, because this is all in the Trail of Blood, what I'm trying. When you read the Trail of Blood, remember, it was published in 1856. So, in other words, the people outside, like George Washington, wasn't a Baptist. He attended Catholic churches, but you know, I don't want to sound anti-Catholic. I don't want to get into, because you know something, and I learned this by listening to Daniel on Monday. I tell you, the American Catholic is a lot different than the European Catholic. And you know, and another thing I learned from another one of your guests, and he was Bob Tuscan. That young man in Florida.
Oh yeah, Bob. What a yeah.
You know,
go ahead.
We can be genuinely ignorant. You've been that way. I've been that way. We've all been that way.
You bet. And that's really the point is to admit it, and not be afraid to move forward and search the truth. And many times, what you'll find is that. You believe one thing one day, and then you find out something the next, and it changes that. So, and when I'm talking about, your path to the truth, correct?
Right. I mean, in other words, and you can always, if you listen, and I enjoy the different guests. In other words, and I don't like the word Bible believer, because see, a Bible believer. Is undefined, because what we believe, it doesn't mean nothing. I mean, you can believe that you can fly, but as soon as you jump off the cliff, you're going to the bottom.
Yeah. You know? Listen, I know. I just, before we run out of time here, I want to say we never did get into what we wanted to talk about. We'll have you on again, okay, Wal? I promise, next week.
Okay. Thanks, Greg.
Okay, we'll have Wal Stickler on again. Good morning.